Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, when it comes to money, should you have an emergency fund? And if so, how much money should be in it? Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Eoin McGee, personal finance expert. You don't like this thing being called an emergency fund, I understand. Why is that?
Thanks for having me in, Claire. I don't like the word emergency. I don't like the word rainy day. I much prefer to use words like, well, the word I use all the time is buffer. And the reason for that is because when you think about rainy day fund or emergency fund, to me, it conjures up negative thoughts. That you only raid us when something bad happens. Mm-hmm. But when you use the word buffer, it allows in the idea that you can use it for life good or for life bad. And what I mean by that is life bad might be you need to replace the boiler, or life good might be your pals are going away for the weekend and you've said no all the way along and now they're going on Friday and you're going to go and you don't have the money to do it. So you can raid the buffer for that. And what I would say the buffer, the whole concept of buffer, if people haven't kind of come across it before, the whole idea of it is, people who don't have a buffer will reach for the credit card when life happens and they'll put the money on the credit card and they'll deal with it later. And that's what it's for. It's ideally we're all on top of our money and we're working it out. And we're sitting at the start of the month. We've just got paid and we work out what we're going to spend our money on for the next 30 days or until we get paid again. And life works really straightforward and nothing, no surprises, and it's linear. That's the ideal thing, but that's not how life works. So that's where the buffer comes in, and you need to have a buffer there that you can reach to cover emergencies. Mm-hmm. I appreciate I'm using the same word, but emergencies, good or bad.
Okay, so like if you need to fix the car or the washing machine breaks down, those sorts of things.
Those sorts of things. And then the question that people will often have for me is how much do I need in my buffer? And you're gonna say, oh, come on. You need 3 to 6 months take home pay. Okay, so whatever your take home pay, and let's just keep the maths really simple, 2,000 euros a month take home pay, that means you need 6,000 euros to 12,000 euros. If you're on twice that, you need twice that. And what used to happen, people go, that's a huge amount of money. If you haven't got a buffer and you're sitting there at home, let me just start by saying, you can start with 500 euros. In fact, there was a piece of research in the US that said $500 was enough to turn down dramatically most people's, or the majority of people, with their financial anxiety would be turned down with just $500
in a buffer fund. So it makes you feel better.
Makes you feel better, sleep better, everything else. A lot of your financial anxiety disappears. But the 3 to 6 months thing, just to give people guidance on it, 3 months if you're a double household income where your salary just comes in every month and always has and you're in a solid job. 6 months if you're single or one household income that's reliant on maybe a freelancer or a tradesperson who does a big job, gets a lump of money, then doesn't get paid again for a couple of weeks. And people used to say 6 months salary.
Well, I'm looking at you saying that as well. So it's a big ask of people to put that amount of money away, particularly now when, you know, everything is going up and it's hard to make the month match the money.
Yeah.
To ask people to put that level of cash away is, it's a lot.
It is a financial luxury to get up to 6 months, but people used to say to me, 6 months salary, and then COVID happened and people went, oh, 6 months salary. I get it.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
And that's, and what I would say is this is your first line of defence. This is your financial security blanket. If you're looking at 6 months and going, it's just too far away, I'm not going to do anything at all, just get to 500. The next step after 500 is to get to 1500. And you need to do that in a way like you would with any type of savings goal. I'm going to save up to 500 euros. I'm going to try and get myself to 1500 euros next, and give yourself those goals to try and reach along the way. And it is ideal to have 6 months, but having anything is better than having nothing and reaching for the credit card when life does happen.
So tell us how we start this, because you have to start somewhere, don't
yeah.
you?
You literally just treat it like any other loan. Like you treat it like any other loan or any other savings goal. You say to yourself, next month, I'm going to, if you're trying to get to 500 initially, I'm going to put 50 euros aside for the next 10 months and I'm going to try and get there. The funny thing about it is it's one of those things you're allowed to dip into along the way if a buffer event happens. Mm-hmm. So it might take you longer than 10 months, but you just start. You do anything towards trying to achieve
but
that goal.
But now just on the dipping in thing, not because you see a pair of jeans that you like or, you know, a little luxury, because that sort of defeats the purpose. You're trying to build this thing up.
You are trying to build it up. And it's interesting because some people, when I'm talking to this, and we used to just talk to people, it's strange, my own biases came into it, where we used to talk to clients who would potentially on the lower end of the salary scale. Then we started talking to people on the higher end of the salary scale and even very high net worth individuals. And people who implement the buffer, actually, regardless of salary levels, get the same benefit from it. They feel the same reduction in financial anxiety. But you're right, Claire, what do you dip into it for? Some of our clients would say, I would say, I'm looking at their finances, looking at the way they're working, I'd say, you know what, your buffer needs to be 6,000 euros, just to keep the example from earlier on. And their new zero in their current account is 6,000 euros. So they get paid, it goes up to 8, and then they eat into it, and their new zero is 6,000 instead of zero. And they will work that buffer incredibly well. Other people need the other extreme, right? And the other extreme, I would say, credit union account with no app and no ATM card. So you have to physically go down on a Saturday morning into the credit union.
Lock it away from yourself.
Yes, get it away from yourself. So you're thinking about, is this a buffer item or is it not? Is this a genuine surprise that I couldn't have managed, or I really am justifying to myself? It's your money at the end of the day, mm-hmm. but I'm justifying to myself that I actually do.
So let's talk about people who, with the best will in the world, try to start this little savings process. Then they get to the end of the month and they realise, I have to go to the supermarket.
Yes.
And I don't have any money. Yeah. And I have to go. So how do those people save? How do you do it?
So where that's actually the start of the month that problem was created. Right. So what everybody should be doing, regardless again of salary level, what everybody should be doing is you get paid today, or even if you haven't got paid today, right?
Start of the month, right?
Okay. But even if you got paid today or yesterday, or it doesn't matter, you're getting paid next week. Look how much money is in your bank account right now. Work out when you're getting paid again next. And give every single euro in your bank account a job. And say, right, that's for groceries. That's for rent. That's for going out with my pals on the third weekend or every weekend or whatever way your life works, right? And then when life happens and you say, actually, you know what? That night out cost me a little bit more. Where am I taking it from? Well, I can't take it from the rent, so I'm going to have to reduce the groceries this month a little bit. And you move the stuff because you're the boss of your money. You're controlling your money. It's not controlling you. And by moving the jobs around then, you should avoid the surprise of having too much month at the end of your money, where you're arriving into the third week of the month and you're going, oh, okay, I've run out of money here and I have something I have to pay for, like
and
rent.
And are there any nifty little apps or devices that will help you with that?
There are. And what I would say is some people have Excel and just do it in Excel or numbers in Apple and they will work it that way. There's a couple of apps. There's one of the things, there is, I never use product names on here, so I'm not going to start today. But if people Google them, there's some lovely apps that can really work well, particularly if you're in a couple, because you'll have it on your phone, they'll have it on their phone. You can sit down with the laptop at night and look at it. You can wake up in the morning and it'll have downloaded all your bank transactions from yesterday, and you say, that's groceries, that's my night out, that was the rent was paid yesterday, the mortgage was paid yesterday. But you give the job at the start of the month the money and then you allocate it as the month happens. Mm-hmm. There is an important thing, just if I can jump backwards a little bit on the buffer. When you dip into the buffer, it's really important what you do next, right? Some people will just work on the basis of, it's the same way as I would have with the credit card, I'm going to replace it as soon as I can, right? So the next opportunity, or even if I have to build it up again over a couple of months, priority number one is to try and get the money back up to where it should be, the buffer back up to where it should be. But priority number two, and not everyone applies this if I'm honest, right? But priority number two, I think, is really valuable. You need to learn from it. So let's say the car tires go, right, on the car, and you replace them with 4 tires. Some car tire company is going to say he's wildly off, but just let's make up a number, 960 euros to replace the 4 tires, right? Maybe that's ridiculously expensive or
They're
ridiculously
brand new,
cheap.
Very fancy.
Very
tires.
Fancy, 960 euros, right? And you sit there and you say, actually, you know what? It was the first week in July last year that my tires went. Now what you need to do is, I've dipped into the buffer for the 960 euro, I've paid for the tyres, I didn't have it from cash flow this month, so I've paid for from the buffer, and what I need to do is put 80 euros aside now every month for the next 12 months. Now you might do that physically in an actual envelope in the kitchen somewhere, like Mammy used to do. You might do it in a pocket or space or wallet in some of the N26 Revoluts or OnPlus mm-hmm. money. It's up to you where you put it, but you mark it and you call it tyres July 26.
Or car insurance or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
An expense you know is coming.
Yes. Something that you know is going to come up, and you can actually sit back now and say, I know my car insurance is due in October. I know I have X amount, 4 months, 5 months left till October. I know it's going to cost me X amount of money. I'm going to divide that by 5 and I'm going to try and put that aside in one of these pocket spaces, wallets or an envelope in the kitchen. I'm going to do that. And even if you don't get to the full amount, even if you get to half the amount, you can only afford to do it.
It helped, right?
It helped. It makes a massive difference. Back to school is an interesting one, because back to school, the figures we've had last year is 1 in 3 people will borrow money for back to school. And this is one of those items where you say, you know what, I know how much back to school is going to cost me, and therefore we need to put that aside in one of my little envelopes, and I'm going to have it there. If not all of it, some of it there the next time. And you're not reaching for the buffer. People who do this for 12 months most financial surprises disappear. And I know people are going to say I'm very harsh. We don't actually have very many legitimate financial surprises. Financial surprise is something we call it to justify the fact we weren't prepared for it. Mm. I know I'm being very hard. And
no, I get what you're saying. So it's about education, really, isn't it? It's about educating ourselves and looking at what is coming and making sure that we're just ready for it.
Yes. And like people would say, I was very surprised at how much Christmas cost me. Christmas happens every year. Like, it's not a surprise.
Holidays. Yeah, holidays. Back to school.
I've gone on holidays every July for the last 30 years. Like, it's likely you're going to go on holidays this month as well. So it's preparing for that. And you know what? It is hard. And I do recognise that people are very squeezed and lots of people are very squeezed. But it's about doing anything that next year is going to be easier. Mm-hmm. That's going to make next year easier, that you're putting a little bit of money aside each time.
So just to go back to what you were saying at the beginning, you dip into your buffer to go on that weekend with your friends. It's a lovely, enjoyable thing. But now you need to build your buffer back up. So let's say you were saving prior to that, dipping in €100 a month, just to make it easy. Should you then be paying in €120 a month to try and build it back up?
Well, you see, what are with you the doing? Buffer, you're trying to reach your level. And once you've reached your full level, like once you've reached your 3 months or your 6 months, whatever is appropriate, well, then you've stopped paying into that now and you only start paying into it again when you've reached into the buffer.
Okay, so you shouldn't really be trying to build it up past your three or 6 months.
No, because one of the other problems we have here is we have the last number I had, 156 billion, but it's more than 150 billion sitting on deposit. I'd suggest 70% of that doesn't belong there. Right. So you have your buffer for your immediate what stuff is going to hit me in the next 12 months. You have your short term savings, which is from now to 5 years. And then you've got your medium term savings, which is 5 years plus. And I would suggest 70% of that 150 billion plus is 5 year plus money. Mm-hmm. And I call it the 5 year rule. If you don't need the money in the next 5 years, it does not belong in a bank account, on post or credit union. You need to get it out of there and put it somewhere else.
This listener wants to know, what if you are now living on your pension? Do you still need a buffer?
You'd still need buffer. You still get life surprises. And if you're not prepared for them, that's what we call them, surprises. Life still goes on when you're on a pension, funny enough. And I'm no doubt that person knows that well. And you still can suffer with financial anxiety. It's still the same. These are just your tools, your financial security blanket to help you sleep at night.
Here's a buffer fan who says, I have a buffer of 4 months salary and it has honestly made me feel so secure. Yeah. I started small, €50 a month back in 2010. So 15 years ago, anytime I took money out, I made sure to put it back within a year. It got a bit of a boost over COVID when I was stuck at home with nowhere to go and nowhere to spend the money. But I'm still only saving the same €50 every month, despite being on a higher salary. But you're saying you shouldn't have any more than your 4 months if that's what you've decided is in your buffer. And if you're still putting money into it, Owen wants you to put that money somewhere else.
Even if it's just shorter term, maybe a 30-day deposit or 90-day deposit, that you're getting a little bit more interest, because buffer is a financial advantage. It's a great thing to have, but we don't try and make money off it. We don't even put it on deposit. It needs to be on demand that you can get at it if you need it for an emergency. And that's the whole point of it. I'm really delighted. I loved that text in from the listener. The only thing that disappointed me was 2010, so it's pre-How to Be Good With Money. It's pre-All, so I can't even take credit for it. They were doing buffers long before Owen McGee was talking about it.
Well, sounds like she's buying whatever you're preaching, whether it was you that preached it to her or not. Now, if you have credit card debt, yes, and you don't have your buffer fund, what do you do? Credit card is a bit like fast food of finance, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quick and it's easy and it'll fill you up, but then you might have a problem with hunger afterwards.
There's a general rule of thumb. The easier it is to get the loan, the more expensive it is. And credit cards are so easy to swipe. And generally, the cheaper the loan, it's used for assets that go down in value, depreciating assets, or you consume straight away, like literally a meal, right? That it's gone straight away. And what I would say is this is a politician's answer, Claire. This depends on the level of credit card debt, how long, your own salary. But sometimes it's a case of, you know what we're going to do? We're going to tackle the credit card debt. We're going to get rid of it in one go and we're going to start the buffer then. But sometimes you have to do a hybrid approach, because if there's a bit more of a problem with the credit card and we go fully after, we pay the minimum off the credit card and we go fully after the buffer, well, then what will happen is you'll be building up interest on the other side. If we do it the other way around and we go fully after the credit card and life happens, you'll end up having to put more money on the credit cards because you don't have the buffer. So it's about getting the balancing right. And that is done on a case by case basis, unfortunately.
Right. But make sure to address the credit card debt, because it's the one really that can get out of hand, isn't it?
Yeah. Typically, credit cards are 20, 22%. If in simple interest terms, €1,000 on a credit card is going to cost you €200 in interest, in simple interest terms, €200 in interest for a year if you leave it there. People say, oh, but I clear it off. But is the balance averaging out €1,000 over the year? And if you're putting €200 off your in interest on your credit card on a year-to-year basis, you're paying for the banker's holidays, not your own holidays.
That's a good way to put it. Owen, thanks so much.
Thank you, Claire.
Owen McGee there on your buffer. And we'll talk to you again soon, Owen. Thanks for coming in.